The fuss and commotion over arranging everything had kept everyone in the house busy for nearly a month. Now she knew that if she looked out of the window, she would see the huge marquee erected on the lawn where her guests would be received. Below, sloping down to the lake, were the barrels of beer that were to be drunk by the workers on the estate and those who lived in the village. There were to be fireworks at night, and Iona knew that everyone locally would be present at what to them was a very special occasion. When her father had died, over a year ago, she had been pressed by every member of the family to get married as soon as possible. "You cannot possibly live in this vast house all by yourself," they said. "While we have arranged a rota to come here to look after you, we cannot do it forever." They had laughed before they added, "Our husbands would strongly object for one thing. Although you have offered them excellent shooting in the winter and your marvellous horses to ride, they still prefer being at home and having everything their own way." Iona had laughed at this, but she knew it to be true. Her aunt and cousins had found it rather a burden to be always chaperoning her when they had had their own lives and families to attend to. Nevertheless, they had all been very kind, but she knew, if she was honest, that they would all heave a sigh of relief tomorrow when she came down the aisle on the arm of her husband. It had almost seemed like fate taking a hand when Sir John Morton, who was the only son of the late Lord Lieutenant, had asked her to be his wife. For a start, their estates almost touched each other, so that they would be able to join them together as one. So Sir John would have Iona's estate, as well as his own to manage, and she had thought that he was looking forward to it. It would be a change to him, having running the estate and looking after her, rather than her aunts and cousins, who always complained that they had had to give up so much of their own interests when they arrived to stay with her. "I am very, very lucky," Iona thought, as she gazed out of the window and imagined what a commotion there would be tomorrow. Yet it was an event that the local people would talk about for the rest of the year. Naturally, she was to be married in the same church where she had been christened. The local vicar owed his stipend to her, and he was engaged to perform the wedding service, and Iona felt that everything had been arranged as it ought to be. Her own household was providing the food that everyone would surely enjoy. "I am sure this is the perfect way to be married. I am sure this is the perfect way to be married," she thought now to herself, "with everyone round me who has known me since I was a child and who were fond of Papa." Her father had certainly been very generous where the village was concerned, and she knew that their estate pensioners boasted all over the county that they received more generous pensions than anyone else. It was understandable because Lord Langdale was an exceedingly wealthy man. He had not only inherited the huge estate and house when he came into the barony, but his wife, Iona's mother, was a great heiress. Both her money and her father's were inherited by their only child. Iona was fully aware that her father had always hoped that he would have a son, but sadly her mother was not very strong. While she lived until she was over 60, it was not possible for her to have another baby after Iona was born. Iona often thought it was unfair for her to have so much, especially the magnificent horses that her father had bought and bred, which he was exceedingly proud of. "Of course," she said to herself, "I ought to have a brother who could ride them faster and better than I can, and who would be thrilled, as my father was, every time he won a race at Newmarket." She had been well aware that, because she was such a very rich heiress, her relations were always worried that she would be married for her money rather than for herself, and would therefore be unhappy. They warned her not once but many times against fortune hunters. When she came out in London and became the debutante of the year, they would scrutinize, she could not help noticing, every man who danced with her, and she became tired of being warned against fortune hunters. Also, she was exasperated by the fact that whenever she had asked a new man to stay, her aunts examined him, as if through a microscope, to find out if he was a genuine gentleman, or, as they